Okay. Let us pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for this privilege of worship this morning. We do thank you for the freedom of worship in this country, Lord. We do thank you for the freedom of speech as well. We know that a lot of people in different parts of the world do not have such a privilege. And as long as we have these opportunities and privileges, Lord, help us to worship you and help us to be able to use all of those opportunities to glorify you. Father, as we open the scriptures once again this morning, please open our eyes and thoughts so that we may be able to comprehend the teachings of the scriptures this morning. As a result of God's word this morning, we may be better people, better Christians, and better servants, Lord. We do thank you for this privilege to be able to hear God's word once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do praise the Lord for this another opportunity to be able to share God's words with you this morning. My primary focus this morning will be given to verse 1 in chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I think this particular passage of the scriptures is worthy of our attention. Before Paul brings us to chapter 4, he speaks about Christian work in chapter 3. In fact, in particular, verses 5 to 16. He says that every work we do for the Lord will be tested, and every work we are going to do will be evaluated. Besides, every one of us needs to keep our purity, because every one of us is like a temple of God. As a whole, a corporate body of believers, we are a temple of God too. Then in chapter 3, verses 18 to 23, Paul tells us that we ought to depend on God for our service and for our ministries. And every one of us is responsible and accountable to God for his or her service for the honor of our God. Then we ought to be recognized by people that we are the ministers of Jesus Christ and we are the stewards of the mystery of God. I thought it was a very interesting exhortation, in fact. Normally, people do not know that we are Christians until we tell them that we love the Lord and we are Christians. We go to churches. Well, what's wrong with us? It seems that we are not characterized by our Christian character and faith, but we are known to the people by something else. Something else. My question is this. Can others know and recognize my Christian faith without me letting them know of it first? Then Paul says in verse 2 in chapter 4 that there is a virtue that all Christians must have. In particular, this exhortation is given to the ministers first. However, I do not think that its application is to be given only to the ministers, but to all Christians. It must be a talk and challenge to all Christians, all children of God. It is because, as members of one body, one way or another, we are serving the same Lord and we are His stewards. Verse 2 says, there is something that is required by God Himself. It is quite an interesting statement. A man must be found faithful. There are a couple of truths in this particular verse. One is that it is in a passive mood. In other words, our faithfulness will be found. Probably it is a more difficult challenge to most of us. We may say about our faithful ministries and faithful services over the years, especially in the past years, or when we were young, and a few decades ago and so on. However, that is not something that Paul is trying to talk about from this particular passage of the scriptures. He says, we are to be found to be faithful. The other is that we must be found faithful by someone, somebody. The most reasonable answer is, I think, God. God must be able to find our faithfulness.
It is because, as Paul says in chapter 3, verse 23, everything belongs to God, and the stewards who have the mystery of God are the stewards of God. Thus, God must be able to see us as faithful. Not because we confess that we are faithful, but we should be able to be found as faithful. I think that it is a very unique and interesting requirement to all the servants of God, all the children of God. It is because faithfulness is a virtue rather than touchable, seeable, measurable, or comparable achievements. Faithfulness is not physical, but in fact metaphysical. It is also a part of Christian character. When I'm talking about faithfulness, can you touch it? Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Or can you taste it? It is not a physical. It's beyond the physical realm. It must speak to us very loudly. Christian churches have focused on physical things, I think, over the years too much. Besides, Christians have been confused about their faithfulness to God as if it is a man's recognition. I'm sure that faithful men may be noticed, but not all the time. Faithfulness is an inner virtue that transforms our outer character. We may be able to borrow brains, but we cannot borrow our character, somebody said. If we do not know about certain things, we can ask someone who knows about those matters, so we can borrow their brains. However, if someone is wrong with a character, then it is very hard to borrow character from someone else. May I borrow your character for a couple of hours, or a couple of years, or a couple of decades? That doesn't work. When Peter talks about Christian growth in 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the growth in virtues and character. Again, it is invisible and untouchable attribute. There are two verses in the New Testament talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God. These days, whenever we are talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, people tend to talk about signs and wonders and so on. However, those two verses we can find in the Bible are saying a bit differently. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc." Well, in other words, every one of them is talking about Christian virtue, character. Ephesians 5, 9 is another verse talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and the truth." Every one of them is not of physical, but of Christian virtues. Interestingly, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul talks about faith as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but in fact, when Paul is talking about faith in this particular verse, in fact, it is referring to faithfulness. Then we know that faithfulness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Then we can see that faithfulness is both a virtue we must be able to build up and a gift from the Spirit of God. There is a divine side in our faithfulness. It is like a teachings of sanctification. We need to sanctify ourselves, but at the same time, we surely recognize that it is the work of God. This morning, I'd like to say about this important topic, faithfulness. Let me begin with the meaning of faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? In order to understand what it means to be faithful, we probably need to know of its dictionary definitions first. Without knowing the dictionary definition, I think it is pretty hard for us to understand the concept or notion of this particular aspect of Christian character or virtue. Though being faithful is important, in a sense, we do not use this term much outside of church context. Well, people in the world may talk about someone's faithfulness at the time of his retirement. So usually a plaque and a bit of gifts are given to a person whose faithful service has been for more than 20 years and so on. It is also true that the word faithfulness is related to old things, such as faithful dog or faithful car, and etc. However, God wants us to be faithful. I may be able to explain about faithfulness as constancy and conformity. Constancy plus conformity, maybe. There is no way to explain about faithfulness apart from those two particular notions, constancy and conformity. Noah Webster's dictionary defines faithfulness as, in quote, "form in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion," end of quote. A faithful man is a man who has a quality or state of sticking to what he believes and what he does. He's stuck with his beliefs and duties. So, first, we need to know that faithfulness is related to a set of truth. In other words, if we do not know what we believe, then we may not be able to know to what, for what we are to be faithful. Therefore, when we are talking about faithfulness, we ought to be able to know that we must believe in the truth of God. Apart from the truth of God, we cannot know of what it means to be faithful. Then we must know that in faithfulness, there is an aspect of consistency or constancy. In other words, faithful man does not change. Thus, he's always a dependable person. Once he starts out something, or he believes in something, he abides in it without changing his mind, without changing his attitude toward it. It means not to be fickle. And also, faithfulness involves not only intellectual attributes, but also a real sense of actions. Being faithful is not metaphysical alone, though I said it before. In other words, there is a mental and spiritual aspect of faithfulness, but there has to be also actions to follow, because faithfulness involves doing in actions for our duties. The other aspect of faithfulness is its conformity. We need to be conformed to something in order to be faithful. In other words, we cannot say, we are very, very faithful, but we do not know for what we are to be faithful. Or, if we say that we are faithful because we have done something we like to do very diligently. However, if what we have done is against the rules and norms, a set of truth revealed in the scriptures, we cannot be called faithful. In this regard, Noah Webster said, faithfulness means to be formed in adherence to the truth. A faithful man is a man who is true to the truth. He is in conformity to the letter and spirit of the truth of God. It indicates that good quality must be found in faithfulness. This quality is also shown in loyalty or exactness in attending to commands. The scripture says that we are to be faithful even unto death. This command is not to be applied to evil acts, but only to the cause of righteousness and the truth. We do not call a thief as a faithful thief. We do not call a robber a faithful robber. We do not call a terrorist as a faithful terrorist. Faithfulness means to be conformable to the truth of God, pure, holy, charitable, kind, and gentle, etc. We ought to be able to have those attributes in order to be faithful. Based on these understandings, we conclude that being faithful means to stick to the truth in the steadiest way. Therefore, proper words, deeds, and actions will follow. Thus, constancy and conformity must be found in faithfulness. Therefore, if there is anybody who wants to be faithful, first of all, that person should be able to know the truth of God. Without knowing the truth of God, that person does not have any idea about faithfulness. then there are a few implications of being faithful. The first implication of faithful must be found in one simple question. Can you be counted on? That's the question. In a word, are you reliable? Are you a dependable person? Dr. Bob Jones, the senior, who was actually the founder of Bob Jones University, used to say that the greatest ability we can have is dependability. Greatest ability is dependability. Some people are smart, very intelligent, but not so dependable. Some people are very gifted and talented, but not so dependable. Some people are able and capable of doing a lot of things, but not so dependable. Some people are yes men and yes women, but they are not dependable. When a person is not dependable, he becomes not so trustworthy person. They are not consistent. Therefore, we cannot depend on those undependable people. It is a real blessing if we can find a dependable friend. It is a really blessing to a church if there are people who are dependable. In this regard, I must say that faithfulness is not something that we can easily find from people these days. Maybe it is very possible that we ourselves are not dependable people either. We can find a lot of wealthy people, intelligent people. We can find a lot of smart people, well-educated people, well-capable people in our churches. But it is very hard to find faithful people in Christian churches today. Maybe one of the reasons that people are not so dependable, are not so faithful, is because probably they have lost their confidence in the truth of God, or they are just a bunch of ignorance of the truth of God. Have you been asked by others to do something and you have said yes to the request but have not done it? When a person repeatedly shows his unfaithfulness, he is named as undependable person. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" As a pastor, I have learned that not every believer has a servant's heart. And not every believer is willing to serve the Lord faithfully. Not everyone who volunteers to serve actually comes through. People may cover their unfaithfulness with smooth talks, but their unfaithfulness will not be disclosed and unnoticed. Faithfulness is a rare quality in this particular age. If you and I have all things we need, but if we are not dependable people, we are not trustworthy men and women. A wise man knew it and wrote about it. And quite humor, in fact, with a lot of humor. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Would you like to read it together with me? Proverbs 25, verse 19. Okay, we'll read Proverbs 25, verse 19. Let's read it together. "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of a joint." Amen. You know, sometimes Bible gives us a lot of humor. And I think this is a wonderful truth with a lot of humor in it. When your tooth is broken and when your foot is out of joint, what sensation do you experience? Isn't it painful? That's exactly what we feel when we have to depend on unreliable, unfaithful people. Working and living together with unreliable people is extremely frustrating and, in fact, discouraging. I need to ask you a question at this point. Who can count on you? Do you have a good reputation for being reliable? Truly, do you have this greatest ability you may be able to have, which is dependability? If a man is talented and intelligent but not faithful, all of his good qualities really do not mean much. When Nehemiah had to rebuild Jerusalem and his country, he had to choose leaders for the work. And the city of Jerusalem was in destruction, and there was no proper building standing on the land. And Nehemiah needed to rebuild the things for the glory of God and for the children of God. And why don't you look at a few of the verses from the book of Nehemiah in order to know the importance of the presence of faithful men. When Nehemiah had to rebuild Jerusalem and his country, he had to choose leaders for the work. Let us turn our books, the Bible, to Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 2. Let's read it together. That I gave my brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Amen. So here we go. The criterion that Nehemiah had when he had to choose the leaders in order to rebuild the city of Jerusalem was faithfulness. He was a faithful man, therefore he was that person had to be appointed as a leader. You know, when I am traveling around, in fact, I do travel a lot, and I do visit different countries, and I do visit different mission fields, and I do preach in many different churches and so on. But I have found quite disturbing things often in different churches. Some leaders are leaders because they are wealthy. Some leaders are chosen to be leaders because they are very intelligent and socially very highly elevated people and so on. Simply because someone is smart. Someone is a man of reputation and someone is a man of position or wealth and intelligence, education, whatever, background, family background and so on. That's why they are being chosen to be the leaders in Christian churches. How sad that is. Some people even are coming to our churches and demanding for positions. It is because I have completed a Bible college education and my response is always, so what? I have been in Christian churches for a few decades. I have been an elder of such a church. Therefore, I demand my position in this place. And my response is always, so what? And I do ask them to come through basic Bible knowledge class again. A man is not to be a leader simply because that person has been in Christian churches for long enough. Or certain reputations and names and so on. But the man of God must be chosen because of his faithfulness. How about chapter 13, verse 13? Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 13. Nehemiah 13:13. Let's read it together. And I made the treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah. And next to them was Hanan, the son of Zekel, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Amen. We must be able to say amen to such verses. Such wonderful truth and simple statement. We are to be faithful. And faithfulness is the most important trait or characteristic of Christian leaders. It is no wonder that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The second implication of faithfulness also can be found in a question. Are you reflecting the glory of God, or are you showing Christ in you? The reason I say this is simply because God is a faithful God. Therefore, if we are to be faithful, if we truly follow Him, if we truly reflect His glory in our lives, in our characteristics, in our characters, in our personalities, there has to be a faithfulness aspect within us. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God is God, the faithful God." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:24 must be a very well-known passage of the scriptures. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The reason that will be continued, we will be preserved until the day of Christ Jesus, is because of God's faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The faithful God is looking for faithful men and faithful women. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Would you like to read that verse? I hope that this verse is going to ask you a few questions personally. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Okay? Let's read it together, shall we? "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Amen. We are talking about Paul here. And Paul says, "I'm so grateful that I'm in the ministry." I hope that that is your confession as well. You say, "I'm so thankful that I am in the house of God. I'm so thankful in such a position that I'm in such a position in which I serve the Lord. God has called me into His family, into His fold. And I am so grateful that I am in the family of God." And he says here, "For that he counted me faithful." Is that your trait? Is that your characteristic? Is faithfulness a part of your Christian character? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is a great, I think, a challenging passage to all of us. You know, many people, whenever I visited the different continents, different churches, they told me that the churches are dying. You know, someone told me that London used to be such a bastion of Christian faith, but this is not a place anymore with that same reputation and name. In fact, some people told me that London should not be my place to go. Well, what happened to our Christian countries, Christian churches, and so on? It is because we have not been able to commit the Word of God, divine truth of God, divine ministry of God to faithful men. Our church problem is not a problem of money, in fact. You know, we trust in God. God has great deal of resources, by the way. And that's why the scripture says that nothing is impossible to Him. So everything is possible to God. Our problem is unfaithful people within our churches. They claim to be Christian faith. They claim to be Christian religion. However, they are not faithful. And it is very hard to find the faithful young men to whom we may transfer, we may give away our duties and so on to pass the scriptural truth to the next generation. Numbers 12 verse 7 says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Moses was characterized by his faithfulness by God himself, by the way. Acts chapter 16 verse 15 says, "And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Here is Timothy's reputation in the eyes of Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 4:17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." It is really a challenging lesson, in fact, a truth, you know, faithfulness. I have found very able people, talented, gifted people, smart, intelligent people, wealthy and very well-known people and so on in Christian churches. But I have been able to find very hardly, scarcely, rarely, faithful people in Christian churches. It is no wonder that we are dying. God will judge us according to our faithfulness in Matthew chapter 25. In fact, all those faithful people will be with the Lord forever in eternity, according to Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Revelation 17 verse 14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him, those people who are with the Savior, are called and chosen and faithful. Faithful. Then our question, the next question is this. Then how can we be faithful? Is there any way that we can improve ourselves to be faithful people? If we need and want to be faithful, there must be ways or means that we may use to improve the quality of our faithfulness. By the way, when we are talking about Christian virtues, for example, when I'm talking about faithfulness, we have to recognize that within the realm of faithfulness, there is a room for growth. And we ought to be able to grow to the point of perfection in faithfulness. Sometimes we may be staggering here and there. We may fail here and there. But one thing that we should never forget is that we must grow in our faithfulness. I do not think that there is anyone amongst us who wants to be unfaithful intentionally. If we can improve certain areas in our life, we may be better and more faithful people than now, I think. The first of all, what we must know in order to grow in faithfulness is the truth of God. If we do not know the truth of God, how can we be faithful unto Him? If we do not know His divine will, then how can we obey His will and divine desire as revealed in the Scriptures? Therefore, if we want to be faithful, we need to know the Scriptures. We need to study the Bible. We need to know the Word of God. That's why preaching is the most essential part of Christian churches' worship. This is the integral part of worship. At the same time, this is not good enough. I hope that you will have desire to study the Bible more systematically, and you will come to the leaders. Teach us from the Bible. You know, I experienced the spiritual thirst because I was longing for the truth of God. I was called into the ministry, so I went to the Bible college, but Bible college education did not satisfy my soul. I learned New Testament introduction, Old Testament introduction, systematic theology and so on. But even in the Bible college education, my thirsty and hungry soul was not satisfied. I wanted to be satisfied. There was a deep longing inside of me, and I did not know how to handle it. So that's why I was searching and searching, and I found another Bible college in the evening hours. So I went to two Bible colleges at the same time. And in the evening hours, evening classes, I was taught from the book of Genesis till the book of Revelation. The Word of God satisfied my soul. If you have never experienced that thirst, you will never understand what I'm talking about. That spiritual thirst will never be quenched until the truth of God touches on our hearts. I hope that the Lord will stir you up and have a longing, have that thirst and hunger for the truth of God. Without knowing the Word of God, you cannot be faithful. Some people may say, I'm zealous. I'm enthusiastic in serving God. But do you know that the children of God did exactly the same thing that you have been trying to do according to Romans chapter 10? by being so zealous and enthusiastic in serving the Lord. In fact, they were doing all they can do, they could do, against the righteousness of God. That's what they did with their zeal and enthusiasm. Know the Word of God. While you are ignorant of God's Word, do not expect that you can be faithful. You may be zealous, but maybe you are making a lot of errors by which you are putting stumbling blocks before somebody's spiritual path, which is a terrible thing. Therefore, if we want to be faithful, we need to know His Word so that we can know who He is. And we need to know His will. The second way to improve ourselves is very practical one, is to keep our promises. It sounds very simple, but profoundly important for us to remember this truth. We must keep our promises. One of the good examples is found in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Well, the person portrayed in this verse says and makes promises, but he does not intend to keep his promises. Well, when I was in Kenya, you know, already when I got there, the country suffered with drought for a few years. And in my first year in Africa, it was very dry. And even during the rainy season, there was really no rain. And once in a while, we were able to see the thick and dark clouds in the sky. And we were so excited. Rain is about to come. And we are so happy. Everything was so dark, even though it was in the morning. But later on, the latter part of the day, clouds were gone without dropping a single rain. What a disappointment. Well, there are some people who are making a lot of promises, good promises. In fact, beautiful promises, promises are too beautiful to believe, you know, to be believed. And very unfortunately, we make promises and we do not keep them. When we are talking about promises, we may think of promises made for or made to our fellow men. However, there is something we need to think more carefully. It is because we may promise to men, but God is our witness. Therefore, we should keep our promises. And also, we may make some promises to God, which is a vow. And we should be able to keep our vows. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." If we are dependable people, we do not have to tell others how dependable people we are. Can't you see how dependable person I am? Can't you know that how much a faithful person I am? You know, faithfulness and dependability, you do not have to talk about. People shall know, right? The third way to improve our faithfulness is to use our resources properly. For example, if we are talented or gifted to do something but do not want to use them, then where can we find our faithfulness? Some people may say, not using our talents must not be sinful. Therefore, rather than saying, I will do, but later not do, we'd better not use any of our talents and not make any promises to anybody. In other words, even though we have certain resources that we may be able to use for the glory of God, but not using those resources is not going to make us sinful. Therefore, it's okay. If we say, we have resources, therefore we are going to use them for the honor and glory of God, but later on we do not use them. Well, that is terribly sinful. So some people are very smart. So instead of saying yes, then later on no, we'd better say no right from the beginning. Well, very clever. For such clever people, Jesus gave us a parable of talents. Individuals do receive different amounts of talents, and every one of them is going to be evaluated later. Well, probably you know what happened to that one particular person who had one talent and dug a hole and kept that one talent there. God actually, later on, the Lord took it back, and he was dealt with accordingly. He lost even what he had. The reason that God gave you and me talents or gifts or resources for his use, if God has enabled us to do something, then obviously we must be, whatever we have, we must be used for his glory. If God has given you health, use it for him. It is because there will be a time when your health is not going to be good enough to be used for him. If God has given you good voice, use it for him. Before, you may not be able to sing anymore. You know, one day I was invited by a person in a hospital, and when I saw her, she was really sad because she had a cancer on her tongue, and that was the last day when she was able to talk with her own voice. On the following morning, the tongue was supposed to be removed from her, and she was very sad. And she said, "I'm so glad that I can hear my voice today, but from tomorrow I cannot hear it." If you have time, use it before there is no more time. If you have money, use it before you may not have money to use for him. If you can help someone with words of encouragement, wise advice, close fellowship, or whatever, just do it for the glory of God. And the next way, the third way or fourth way, I lost the track of numbers. To improve our faithfulness is to become steady friends of the weak and the feeble. Sometimes we are not faithful because we focus on ourselves too much. We are focusing on our own problems. As a result, we cannot look after other people's problems. We are so much immersed into our own issues. As a result, we cannot look around and so on. Well, look around once in a while. There is another way that we may be able to improve our faithfulness. There are people who are making friends for their profits. When there is no gain from the friendship, or their friends need them for their help, then there is no more friendship. They are not willing to help. I believe that in our personal relationships, personal loyalty is a form of faithfulness. A faithful person does not abandon his friends when they are in need. So Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And the next way to improve our faithfulness, maybe this is fifth, is to deal with, this is a very important matter, money properly. Whenever money matter has to be discussed, people tend to be very uneasy. And when we are talking about our faithfulness, in fact, I cannot but talk about money issues too. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is not just one of those evils, but this is the root of all evil. It is not a problem of money per se, but it is a problem of our hearts in relation to money. Love of money. There are a lot of people who love money. Jesus said of serving both God and money as an impossible mission. People love either God or money. In fact, money is a means that God uses to test our hearts at times. So Luke chapter 16 verse 11 says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust the true riches." What this verse says is very simple. If we are not faithful with earthly possession, God will not bless us with heavenly blessings. I have known people whose hearts are changed because of the love of money. Before they became wealthy, Before they became rich, they were good people. But because of the love of money, their even characters have been changed. The Bible is especially emphasizing on the importance of giving. And hopefully you will be able to read 1 Corinthians chapter 16 later on. Sometimes when I go to grocery shops or certain stores, I find little ones coming with their mothers. Some of them pick up toys or small things they like to have. So mothers are willing to buy those things for them. So these little ones bring their toys or those small things to the cashiers, but they refuse to put them down on the belt because they are afraid that those precious things will be taken away and those things will not be given back to them. What they do not know is this. They have to put them down first in order to secure them. God requires us to give, not because He's a begging God, but because He wants to give us more. I'm a child, I'm a son of a very poor family. I remember many long years ago, in fact my mother passed away more than 32 years ago, 33 years ago in fact. And we went through a very tough time, and there was a time when my family was not able to eat a proper meal. And basically every meal was a porridge. And so one day I spoke to my mom. Mom, I don't like to eat porridge anymore. I want to have a solid food. And she was looking at me, and I saw the tears from her eyes. My mom was a beautiful lady, very big eyes. And from her eyes, tears began to be dropped. And I regretted that I said to my mother. And still I regret that I had spoken to my mom that way. Well, I grew up with literally nothing to enjoy. However, God is God of abundance. Until 1.5 years ago, finally, I decided to have a house because of certain provisions and so on. I never owned anything. I have never bought a refrigerator. I never bought a TV. I have never bought a microwave oven. I have never bought even radio. I didn't own anything. But God was always the God of abundance in my personal life. When I was about to go to university, I knew that my family was not able to support me, and I had to give up my desire to go to university. Instead, I worked in the factory 15 hours a day, day and night. Quite often I had to stay back in the factory and I had to keep on working. My mom, before she died, she was so grieved by the fact that she was not able to send me to university. Instead, I had to work in the factory. But looking back, look at the testimony of the faithfulness of God. God sent me to universities, and God gave me all the opportunities, and I have finished probably last part of educational system. And every one of those things was given to me as an opportunity by the mercies of God, and God had provided all the needs that I had. Why people are thinking that God is begging for human mercies as far as offering is concerned? God is far greater than we can think about. Why God is being set aside in the hearts of the people of God, but instead the people of God are serving and worshiping money. Money masters. Money rules over the minds of people. How long are we going to set God aside from our hearts? Then we will become the servants of money. God is faithful. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that I meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Are you going to measure the abundance of God and faithfulness of God? How are you going to do it? Well, Constance and conformity are the two key words to faithfulness. Faithfulness means a trustworthiness. Thus, faithful people are reliable people, and they do reflect the character of God. We may improve our faithfulness by keeping promises, using our talents properly, being steady friends to those people who are in need and good in money matters, and all the more by knowing the truth of God. It is my prayer and it is my hope that all of you, you may not be smart, you may not be rich, you may not be very capable of doing a lot of things, but at least you will be found to be faithful in the eyes of God. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. And it is